When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We are currently seeing a renewed attempt by politicians, by media outlets, to demonise protests against Israel's genocidal onslaught against Gaza on both sides of the Atlantic. Now, I'm going to look at a latest claim, drama, saga, centering on an incident here in Britain. It involves a chap called Gideon Falter. He's chief executive of an organisation called Campaign Against Antisemitism, of which more shortly, and a board member of Jewish National Fund UK, whose motto is supporting Israel for life. He's actually vice chairman there. Its honorary patrons include the Prime Minister and President of Israel. The context: huge mass protests against Israel's genocidal onslaught against Gaza continuing on both sides of the Atlantic. And here are some facts about those protests before we talk about the incident in question. Firstly, they have been overwhelmingly peaceful, with a lower arrest rate than, say, Glastonbury Music Festival or indeed a large football match. That isn't to say there haven't been people who've attended these protests who haven't expressed hateful ideas. There has been, and they belong nowhere near these protests. But it would be absolutely extraordinary if protests that big didn't have those individuals. If you just see any huge crowd anywhere, in any context, the odds are there are going to be people there with hateful ideas. And obviously they don't belong at those protests, which are overwhelmingly driven by a sense of anger and grief at the mass slaughter of innocent people. But media outlets and commentators and politicians have sought to find these examples to extrapolate them to tar everybody at those protests. This is a well-worn technique. Not a technique those same people have applied to the numerous genocidal statements made by Israeli politicians, I would know. So we have this focus on placards or things that are said by individuals at protests where these people have no power. But when it comes to the Israeli government and politician after politician after politician saying blood-curdling things as their military pummels Gaza, we don't get the same scrutiny, do we? Now, these protests reflect where most of the public are at. And indeed, with every passing day, that is more and more true. More and more people move towards the positions reflected by these protests. Indeed, the polling here in Britain showed that even by 19th of October, not long after this horror began, a large majority of Britain supported an immediate ceasefire. And if we look at more recent polling, that includes huge numbers who believe Israel is committing war crimes, and a huge majority who think we should end arms sales to Israel. Polling also suggests people, for example, think far more likely, by big margin, to think Israel's entire campaign against Gaza is not justified. And indeed, a huge majority support peace negotiations between Israel and Hamas, a position I have to say you can't really get away with saying in the mainstream media. So that just shows where public opinion's at. And that is what the protests reflect. And here's another point about these protests, and a very salient point here, is that they have consistently featured, included, large numbers of Jewish protesters. Those Jewish protesters have been a very, very important part of these protesters. Jewish protesters who assemble in a specific Jewish block of the protest, but also those who march throughout the protest. Jewish protesters who are there loudly and proudly expressing their Jewish identities, for example, displaying signs affirming their Jewish identities, for example, Jews against genocide, that kind of thing, as well as wearing their kippah, that is, a Jewish skull cap. Now, Gideon Falter has been involved in a high-profile incident involving the Metropolitan Police in London at one of these protests, which he and his supporters have used to claim that these protests are not safe spaces for Jews, that they turn London essentially into a no-go zone for Jews when they take place, a claim which has been repeatedly made in order to justify banning these protests, including, as we'll see, by Gideon Falter himself. Now, the campaign against anti-Semitism, Gideon Falter, demanded in the wake of this that the Metropolitan Police Commissioner either resign or quit. Now, who are the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism? According to their website, they are a volunteer-led charity dedicated to exposing and countering anti-Semitism through education and zero-tolerance enforcement of the law. Well, critiques of this organisation, it must be said, do not just come from the left. Margaret Hodge, a Labour MP on the right of the party, who aggressively opposed Jeremy Corbyn's leadership, who earlier this year, in a so-called solidarity mission to Israel, posed in a picture with Israeli President Isaac Herzog, whose comments in support of collective punishment against Gaza at the very start of all of this, were cited in South Africa's case and the International Court of Justice, alleging Israel is guilty of genocide. Margaret Hodge is herself a former patron of the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. And in July 2022, after the organisation attacked Keir Starmer, she tweeted, "I'm fed up of CAA, Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, using anti-Semitism as a front to attack Labour. Time to call them out for what and who they really are. More concerned with undermining Labour than rooting out anti-Semitism." So she, in this case, was accusing them of being a right-wing organisation who weaponised claims of anti-Semitism for political ends. Now, I know that if someone on the left made that kind of argument, they'd be pretty swiftly given the boot from the Labour Party. Now, let's listen to another former Labour MP who became, as well, one of the most ardent opponents of Jeremy Corbyn. Indeed, he was made a life peer in the House of Lords by Conservative Prime Minister Theresa May and was then made the British government's so-called independent advisor on anti-Semitism.
Mr. Falter would perhaps disagree with you suggesting that he was there purely to protest. He would argue that he was simply walking in London and he was stopped from doing so because he was openly Jewish.
No, let's be quite clear. That is not true. He wasn't just walking in London. It's Shabbat at the time, so the Jewish religious time. And he's been there before at the protests. He's been quite explicit. Before he went on this this protest, he'd already called publicly for Sir Mark Rowley to be sacked. There's no ambiguity in what he's doing. Well, let me show you how he operates. Let me show you this.
His organisation has, for the last 6 months,
blocked me on from seeing their social media. Now, I'm the independent advisor to government on anti-Semitism. You know, they have other objectives in this. If you're going to block people like myself from seeing your social media, you're not playing it
Mr.
Incredible stuff there. When people on the left made such arguments, they were torn to pieces, I have to say. But John Mann is claiming that the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism has what he describes as other objectives and aren't playing it straight. It would have been interesting if he'd been pressed on exactly what he'd meant by that. Now, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism earlier this year put out a video which was widely condemned as Islamophobic, with the text, "Thinking of visiting Sadiq Khan's London, this is what you can expect to see," beginning with an opening shot featuring an Islamist flag. Sadiq Khan routinely attacked because of his Muslim faith and links then made between him and Islamist extremism, even though, for example, he's consistently supported LGBTQ rights, so you can hardly suggest he's what a fundamentalist. I mean, what, you know, or linked to that form of extremism, and that's those claims have been repeatedly thrown at him over the years, and is one of the main reasons he's got 24-hour police protection. Now, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism put out a video about the incident in question at the protests against Israel's onslaught in Gaza, which begins with this clip of the confrontation.
"You are quite openly Jewish. This is a pro-Palestinian march. I'm not accusing you of anything, but I'm worried about the reaction to your presence."
Now, I have to say, when I saw that clip, I was appalled, actually, to be honest, at the language used by that police officer. That was my instinctive reaction. I'm the last person on earth, to be honest, to defend the Metropolitan Police, who I've got contempt for. They're institutionally racist, for a start. I don't trust them on the question of any form of racism, including anti-Semitism. I mean, I just instinctively just recoiled at that. That's how I felt about it at the time. Now, Gideon Falter used this clip as evidence to dispel the claim that Jewish people were safe when what he describes as anti-Israel protests coursed through London. He claimed that on the day of this protest, on a Saturday, he did what he normally did, went to a synagogue and met up with some people to just go on a walkabout around London. I think some people need some unpacking. He says that his group weren't wearing anything like stickers or badges. They didn't have placards or signs. They weren't chanting slogans or engaging with protesters, that they weren't involved in with any protest or counter-protest, that they were just walking wherever they wanted to as Jews, as free Londoners. So he's clearly trying to make the argument that it wasn't because of the positions he was advancing at a protest against the onslaught against Gaza, that it was clearly linked to the fact he was Jewish. That's the argument he's making. So he said the experience was frightening and that he was made to feel like he was being treated like a criminal for being Jewish, that the Metropolitan Commissioner had been curtailing the rights of law-abiding Londoners, including the Jewish community, to appease lawless mobs. Now, this has caused a huge furore in the British media, but it's also made the international news in a big way as well. It's led to UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to say he was appalled by the way the police treated Gideon Falter, and that the Metropolitan Police actually have themselves apologised twice for the language and written to Falter to offer a private meeting. Now, I watched a 14-minute video posted by Sky News, which shows a fuller version of the confrontation between Gideon Falter and the police, and it paints a very different picture from the narrative offered otherwise. In that video, the police officer accuses Gideon Falter of having repeatedly tried to barge through the police cordon around the march, and in their words, to walk against this march. So to quote-unquote walk into the march, walk against the flow of the march, rebutting his claim that he was merely trying to cross the road, claiming that he was being disingenuous, not least when Gideon Falter claimed that the police were treating him like this because he was Jewish. So they didn't accept his motives or reasons. That's the point that the police were putting forward. That was their argument. Falter was further told that he deliberately tried to walk through the group of police officers and into the protests, to walk through them and against the way they were moving towards, as in, so, you know, you've been at protest, you're walking in one direction, and obviously the claim was he was walking in the direction of against the flow of people. And indeed, he said, "My view is you are looking to try and antagonise things." Falter objects, "I'm not. I'm trying to walk along the pavement."
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Indeed, he says, "I can already see what your mindset is." So the police officer there is implying he believes Gideon Falter had ulterior motives, which were not, as Gideon Falter suggested, about him simply wishing to cross the road to get from A to B. Now, we don't have on camera all of the alleged behaviour of Gideon Falter. We do have some of the footage. I'm going to show you that as well. But we don't have, obviously, all the footage of everything involving Gideon Falter that day. We have bits. But it was very clear from the footage that the police officers did not accept the motives Gideon Falter suggested. Let's just hear one clip from that longer video just to give you a flavour.
"I've already seen you deliberately leave the pavement and walk against this march. You chose to do that.
I was trying to get to the other side of the road.
Your comment about it is disingenuous, whether you like it or not.
How do you want me to get to the other side of the road?
I will quite happily walk you over there.
I'm not trying to go
when you get over there. Yeah, when you get over there, no, you'll be able to use the far footpath and go up Kingsway. So we're good.
That is Kingsway. I'm trying to cross the road. I don't want to get right there. There's a big confrontation.
No, there's not, sir."
Now, I should note, he was literally there with a group of what I would describe as heavies and someone filming everything as he did. As Vivica Brown at Navarra Media points out, one of the men with him has been identified as working for SQR Security Group, a security firm run by two former Mossad agents, which according to the Jewish Chronicle, largely hires British soldiers. And this individual has been filmed previously alongside Israeli President Isaac Herzog and Israel's ambassador to the UK, Zippy Hotovely. I mean, again, we don't know the full details of that. Who employs the security firm? What are the contexts they're used in? But people have seen the picture of this person and they have noted that he is part of this particular firm and where he's been previously deployed. His services used elsewhere in that way. Now, you can see Gideon Falter walking head-on towards the protesters. That is, walking towards the direction protesters were coming from. So let's have a look at that. We have more footage from Channel 4 News, though, which shows what they say are new exchanges with different officers in different locations.
Today, Channel 4 News has seen new exchanges with different officers in different locations.
Well, just listen to that. A police officer, he says, another police officer had said that Gideon Falter was kept coming, going in and out of the protests, that you keep running into the protesters. Gideon Falter says that isn't true. Another police officer, another location, says he's saying that you keep going in and out of the protesters. Gideon Falter says, I don't know who he is. And the police officer says, he's an officer. And then we can see quite the expression painted on Falter's face in response. Now, someone who was there filmed one of the confrontations between Falter and the police and made clear that the impression of the protesters, well, this protester, was that Falter had come from a small pro-Israeli protest nearby and he felt that his motive was to try and antagonise people with the video person to capture it. Gideon Falter says he wasn't part of that counter-protest that was nearby. We don't have any footage to show he was. I haven't seen it. What we do know is he was repeatedly challenged by police officers who believed he was antagonistic, and we have someone who was there who believed that this individual had come from the counter-protest where there is obviously going to be friction. Now, Falter denies this, but the problem is we don't have all that footage available to us, and we know the footage he released in isolation is completely misleading. It is striking that people who do not have my worldview, to say the least, like David Ivanovich, former Times columnist, agrocentrist, who has a real distaste towards the left. Someone who just, yeah, very different politics to mine, tweets about me a lot. But he said, he tweeted, listening now to the full account of the openly Jewish incident, it is apparent that Gideon Falter was angling for an incident just like this, and an officer eventually provided it. I mean, in terms of the police officer's language, it clearly remains deeply problematic, even though we're not aware of the fuller context because we don't have all the footage and we can't all hear the dialogue. It's not entirely clear, all the dialogue, even in the 40-minute version that we can see. The police apologise for it. It's notable, though, that when we get this problematic incident, which leads the coverage, it's a confrontation with the police, not the protesters. Now, let's listen to the former Metropolitan Police Chief and Superintendent, Dal Babu.
Well, openly Jewish is not acceptable. But I have, Sally, watched the 13.5-minute clip that's on Sky News. And it's a totally different encounter to the one that Mr. Falter has reported. What you see him doing is attempting to go against the march, or trying to push past the officers. And I think for 13 minutes, the officers showed great restraint. They offered to take him to a crossing point. They offered to help him and the group he was with, who were filming, the opportunity to cross at a more appropriate place. So the narrative that's been pushed for the last few days is not accurate. And I think what you see is the police officers acting with great restraint. But personally, if I was police in that march, I would have been inclined to have arrested him for assault on the police officer and a breach of the peace. So I think with all of these stories, it's really, really important that we don't just accept things at face value. And I have, over the weekend, been asking to see the full footage. And when the full footage was revealed, you have a very, very different account to what Mr. Falter originally said had happened.
Well, there we go. That's an interesting perspective, isn't it? Now, Gideon Volta went on Sky News and had his claims challenged by Ben Jamal, who's the director of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign, one of the organisers of the protest. Let's just listen to this.
At every single march, there are thousands of Jewish people marching, many of them in an organised...
Not, what rubbish!
They're in an organised block, in a Jewish block. They are warmly welcomed at every demonstration. Some of them have put out public statements disassociating themselves with what Mr. Falter and his organisation were doing at the last march. So that's...
Let him come back to you on that.
First of all, I don't want to continue having a conversation with Ben Jamal.
Well, that's incredible stuff, because he doesn't like the truth being stated about Jewish activists being present in significant numbers at these protests. Suddenly he doesn't want to continue the conversation. But it is true. Not only have I personally marched with Jewish activists repeatedly, they are very visibly present at every single of these protests, not least in the Jewish bloc, but also elsewhere. Now, the argument then that comes across is, well, yeah, that's true, that as long as you're Jewish and you toe the line and you oppose Israel's onslaught, you're fine. But if you are visibly Jewish and you don't, then that's when you face the threat of abuse. What I just say to that is, well, then it's nothing to do with being Jewish at all, that, is it? Because if anyone turns up to a protest on one issue, and then someone who strongly objects to what that protest is aiming to do arrives, then you're going to get friction. Now, Gideon Volta says he wasn't doing chants, and he didn't have badges and all the rest of it. Well, I mean, why did the police think he was being antagonistic? We don't know, do we, what the point... I mean, we know he kept going in and out of the protest. That's what they say. It's just, you know, that's the issue, isn't it? What the police were arguing, what they were putting forward is they thought that was antagonistic behaviour that he was doing. So I guess that's the point, you know, did he remonstrate with demonstrators or not? I have no idea. Because we just got his misleading footage, which didn't show the full picture, and now we have other bits of footage which show actually it's not the narrative put forward, but we don't have the full picture. Now, I would say this. Back in May 2019, I went to a Brexit party rally to film a video with the Guardian newspaper, which I did for the same reason I go to Conservative Party conference every year. We want to try and avoid being in an echo chamber. We try to understand different political phenomena. I don't just go and talk to left-wing people. And indeed, at the time, the Brexit Party were leading in the opinion polls and went on to win the European elections just afterwards. Well, I kept being mobbed by far-right elements who latched onto the Brexit Party, and the police asked me to leave on the basis that my presence was causing agitation and threatened to, quote-unquote, cause a breach of the peace. That did not cause a furore at the time. I mean, I tweeted about it. I don't think people didn't even blink at that. Even though I'd know that 3 months later I was gay-bashed by a far-right extremist and his two accomplices on my birthday, which didn't feed into the conversation about political intimidation because, tiny violin time, I'm left-wing, so it doesn't count. Now, Gideon Falter claimed in a Sky News interview that he hadn't spoken publicly about his own views about what Israel is doing. So again, we don't know again. I mean, I suppose then he's saying he didn't talk about Israel, for example, at the protests themselves. I don't know. I mean, I think that's worth asking him in detail. But he says that, therefore, it wouldn't be fair to attack him on that basis because he hasn't publicly stated what those views are. Well, it is certainly clear that he's very hostile to the protests against Israel's military onslaught. So hostile, he's previously called for them to be banned. Let's hear from Gideon Falter giving evidence that the House of Commons previously calling for a ban on these protests.
What I would say regarding these marches is that there have been marches where after 4 weeks, we were asking the police to put in place stronger conditions. And when the police failed to put in place stronger conditions under Section 12 of the Public Order Act, we did, and with the backing of a number of prominent lawyers, say that we felt that the legal threshold had been met for banning these marches, as indeed has happened in numerous other civilized countries like France, to put in place a ban on these marches.
Look, it's very clear what's happening here. Look, and we need to be clear, anti-Semitism is a very real and grave evil. It needs to be taken very seriously. Something I've gone to great pains to make clear on this channel over and over and over again. To the extent where one of my arch critics, who tweets about me again a lot, works for the Community Security Trust, ostensibly a charity committed to the very important work of protecting the security of British Jews from racists. You know, and I know from Jewish friends, for example, with kids at schools, that the presence of the CST is very, very important to them. But, you know, this guy spliced together some of the many times I've spoken about this issue to make an attack video that this shows I'm obsessed with Jewish people. And that was then shared by the head of policy at the CST. Incredible stuff. You know, if I hadn't spoken about anti-Semitism repeatedly, I'd be attacked quite rightly. So instead, that commitment is flipped into something sinister. I mean, you know, that's just an example of, you know, how is that going to help make people take anti-Semitism seriously? You know, it's just so counterproductive. But it's also true that those of us committed to the end of Israel's genocidal onslaught, more broadly to the liberation of the Palestinian people from the hideous oppression they've been so long subjected to, should always be vigilant about the real threat of anti-Semitism. That there are those who hate Jews who will try and attach themselves to the cause, not coming from the position of humanity, which is where the vast majority of people who object to the oppression of the Palestinian people come from, but from hatred. And do we have a responsibility to make sure that Jewish people in the diaspora do feel safe as an end in itself? And because defenders of Israel's abominable behaviour try to tap into that very historically justified fear for Jewish safety, Jewish security. That's just a fact. I mean, you know, the prospects of peace are less, far less likely unless that is addressed. But it's also true that the vast majority, as I've said, of people who turn up to these protests, who object to Israel's genocidal behaviour, are not anti-Semitic. They object to mass murder. They object to hideous oppression, to hideous injustice. And, you know, I suppose I'd implore Falter, and I suppose more importantly, the people cheering all this on, is what impact do you think this intervention is going to have, the net impact on making people take anti-Semitism seriously? But more broadly, those who've been loudly trumpeting this incident in the world of politics, so I'm thinking about Rishi Sunak, and the right-wing media, clearly they do have very clear motives. Those politicians and media outlets know they are apologists for one of the worst crimes of our age. They know they've lost the battle for public opinion. They know they face justified and growing opprobrium, and they know the atrocities committed by Israel are repulsing people all over the world. And they know that demands for the West to stop complicity in these horrors will only grow. This is desperation on their part, certainly. Indeed, in the last few days, reports from Gaza include variously a mass grave with huge numbers of slaughtered Palestinians in it, including children, of 18 kids being killed overnight in a single airstrike in Rafah, of an unborn baby being rescued from the womb cut out of its dead mother. Some of the worst crimes of our age, committed with the complicity of our governments. And that truth can't be hidden, and the inevitable consequences can't be reversed. And that's why politicians and the media do want us to focus on these sorts of incidents. Well, we know what the truth is, and we need to keep speaking out. Please like and subscribe. Do share your comments. Do share the video. Help us take on the program with you as ever at patreon.com/owndoes84. Listen to the podcast. I'll speak to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.